presence of the Lord. You know, we've been talking a good bit lately and talking about presence. We just went through Christmas and it's all about presence with a T, right? But I'll take presence with a C anytime over presence with a T. Can anybody say amen? Because the most powerful gift sometimes that we can receive is time spent together, right? That's way more powerful and way more important sometimes than even the natural gifts or natural presence and things like that. But so I'm thankful for God's presence in our life. I'm thankful that his presence doesn't just reside in this building, right? I mean, how many of you brought his presence with you when you came today? Yeah, you didn't wait to get here, hopefully, to feel his presence. Because how many know you can feel his presence in Walmart? Believe it or not, you can. I'm serious. And sometimes you need him in Walmart. Amen. Hallelujah. How many know you can feel his presence on the job? You can feel his presence in the car. I'm going to tell you, some of my favorite times with Jesus is in my car all by myself. Some of my favorite times with Jesus is on the lawnmower in the summer all by myself. I can't hear nothing but the lawnmower. Amen. And here's the deal, because it's our quiet time. It's in our quiet time sometimes that God speaks with that still small voice. And we don't always hear his voice because everything else drowns it out so much, right? Sometimes the chaos of everyday living, sometimes just the busyness, sometimes just the demand that's put on your life. And so sometimes in those quiet times, you know, I love that the song said it's a thundering noise, but it's also a still small voice. Elijah went to the cave really to run from Jezebel, but it was in the cave all by himself that he heard God. And he said God wasn't in the earthquake. And he wasn't in the shaking, he wasn't in all the noise, but he was in the still small voice. How many are thankful this morning for the still small voice that can speak to us? And sometimes I'll have people say to me, well, God doesn't speak to me. And he does. How many know learning how to hear his voice, knowing how to sense that voice? God can speak to you through a song. He can speak to you through a person. He can speak to you through the word, through the scriptures, through preaching, through quiet time, through a donkey. We know God spoke through a donkey. He can speak through a rooster. God speaks in so many ways. And if we're tuned in, how many know sometimes it's just being tuned in to hear his voice? God, I need to hear you. I need to speak to you. I need your reassurance. I need you to speak into my life. We don't always get the clear answer that we need. Sometimes we get the answer and sometimes the answer is no. Right? But I want to talk a little bit this morning about divine appointments. And I also want to talk a little bit about learning to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And I've shared with you before, there have been many times in my life where I felt like there was a divine appointment. And what I mean by that, where you were in the right place at the right time, at the right moment, and God began to do something. And you realize this is not of my own doing. This is a God moment. This is a God thing. This is a divine appointment. This is God showing up and showing out. And so we have, through the Christmas season, we have done scriptures and we've talked about all the characters of the Christmas story, and I love that. It's probably one of my favorite series to do, and yet sometimes finding a new twist on an old story can be interesting, but I love that God takes the average person, an ordinary person, and he steps into the middle of their life and he just does extraordinary things. And so if you think you are beyond the moment or you think you're beyond that stage in your life, I love that the Christmas story is full of the elderly or the senior, more senior folk, and yet the children, right? The young. I mean, no, God would take a young virgin like Mary, who would just be a willing vessel to say, be it unto me, Lord, according to your will. Whatever you desire to birth in me, Lord, that is what I desire. And yet he would take people like Mary, he would take like Zechariah and Elizabeth, who the scripture says were well stricken in age. That means they were old. And they were beyond the time of reproducing, and yet God would step even in the middle of that arena and in that culture, in that age group, and God would do the miraculous out of a womb of Elizabeth and bring forth one of the greatest voices that would prepare the way of the Lord, that being John the Baptist. And so God takes a mix of people and he steps into time in the middle of destiny and he begins to do great things. And he leaves Zechariah speechless. Zechariah, who's in the temple, and he begins to tell him all the wonderful things he's going to do. And Zechariah says, how can these things be? And he says, Zechariah, because you questioned and because you doubted, you're not going to be able to speak for the next 9 months, the next series of time, until I perform what I have promised. How many of you in here would have been left speechless? Two of us? Because I'm going to tell you, there have been times in my life where I've said, God, how can these things be? How can you take this situation and turn around? God, how can you bring something good out of this? And yet God says, watch me. But I love it when God silences our voice so that we can hear his voice. And that God leaves you speechless right in the middle of his miracles. And he performs what he promised to Zechariah, to Elizabeth, to Joseph, to Mary, to the shepherds, to the wise men. And God opens up the heavens and begins to speak. We talked last week about the wise men who came, scholars, magi. They came from the east. We always say we three kings of Orient aren't. That's not really scriptural. It doesn't tell us how many kings came. It doesn't tell us how many wise men there were. It tells us they brought three types of gifts. It doesn't even tell us how much of the bounty of that it is. Let me know there's some things that wise men do. Wise men will travel far. Wise men will go the distance to see the king. Wise men don't come empty-handed. But they came into the presence of kings with their treasures. And it says, and they set down their luggage or set down their baggage and they opened it and they presented to him gold and frankincense and myrrh. And I believe if we ever get a mentality like wise men, that we don't come into the house empty-handed, but we sit down in the presence of the king and we begin to open up everything that he has poured inside of us. And we begin to open up even out of our baggage or out of our luggage. And we start to present to him our time, our talent, and our treasures and our giftings and all of those things, that we begin to bring our treasures into the house. Where the young child was, and they presented to him. How many wise men don't come empty-handed, but they present their time, their talent, and their treasures to the king. Yep. See, it's not just about coming to get what we need or coming to get what we want. And isn't that beautiful that we do? But how many know how powerful it is when we come into the house and we can open up as vessels? The scripture says that out of your bellies shall flow rivers of living water. And what happens when water hits desert places? All of a sudden, the wilderness and the solitary place begins to blossom like a rose. And springs start to happen in the desert. Inside of you is a well of living water springing up. And so we have the giftings and we have this treasure in an earthen vessel. And you say, oh, Pastor Lisa, I don't have any talent. I don't have any treasures. I don't have any giftings. God created every one of us unique. And every one of us are anointed and appointed. Yes. Not for the same things. And that's the way it should be. The diversity, the diversified giftings of God. Esther didn't think she had it in her. Mordecai came to Esther and said, Esther, you're going to have to go before the king because your people are in destruction. Your people are in danger. And she said, Mordecai, I can't. I don't know how to do that. I'm not allowed to do that. That's outside of the ordinary. It's outside of the culture. It's outside of protocol. Yep. He said, Esther, don't you take this lightly, because who knows that you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Another translation says, perhaps this is the moment for which you have been created. How many are ready for your moment? And I don't believe it's just a moment, but I believe there are times when there are divine appointments where God puts you strategically in places. And if one person like Queen Esther can go before a king and change a nation, how many know there's a room full of people in here today that have the power to change nations? Yeah. Hallelujah. We can sit back and watch what's happening around us or in our countries or in our world and think, God hasn't called me to do anything. I don't know how to fix it. Or we can step up and be an Esther and say, if I perish, then I perish, but I'm taking my petition to the king. Yep. How many know Esther did not know the power she had with the king? She did not know the level of favor that she had with the king. And I want to tell you this morning, probably a lot of the problem in our culture today is because you don't know how much favor you have with the king. Come on, somebody, how much favor we have with the king. He's not mad at you. He's mad about you today. He's head over heels in love for you. He's so in love with you that he stretched out his arms as far as he could, as far as the east is from the west. And he said, and if I be lifted up, I will stretch out my arms and I will draw all men unto me. Yep. Hallelujah. You have the favor of God today. I don't care what your actions dictate tomorrow, because your salvation's more secure than you know it is. Because we have an advocate named Christ Jesus. And so I'm thankful today that he can put us at the right place at the right time. And that there are divine appointments. And that there are moments and seasons in our life. You don't have to raise your hand, but can anybody think of a moment where God had you at the right place at the right time? Or the prompting of the Holy Spirit. I've been in situations where I've had the prompting of the Holy Spirit and the Spirit spoke to me and said, this don't feel right, move on. Start to pull into a place or start to pull off of the interstate or start to go into a place like that and the Holy Spirit say, it don't feel right here, go on, move on. Be driving down the road and get an unction from the Holy Spirit and think, I need to slow down and come up on an accident. Being laid on my couch at night when my kids were in college and the Holy Spirit come on me and the stirring of the power of the Holy Spirit, and I'd start to pray. Holy Spirit, I don't know where they are or what they're doing, but you do. Cover them with your feathers, Lord. Cover them with your Holy Spirit, the prompting of the Holy Spirit to pray. And I told you there was been many times in my life, but there was a time where and I've told this story here, so for those of you who've heard it, I apologize. Not really, but because you won't remember it probably next week anyway. That's okay. But there have been times in my life, and there was a day, and I had a day to myself. That doesn't happen a whole lot, but I had a day to myself. So I was going to do some retail therapy. Right, I was going to go shopping. I hear an amen over here. Hallelujah. And so I was going to go do some shopping and some things like that. And I felt the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And I thought, you know what? I'm not. I'm just going to go home. I'm just going to go home. And I walked home and I had gone into my house and I hadn't been in my house but moments. And my neighbors called me and said, Pastor Lisa, will you come? Our son is dying. Hospice is here. We need a pastor. They had talked to me before this about doing the funeral for their son, and I really didn't even know the young man, didn't know anything about him. Don't know why they chose me, don't know why they called me, except that they were neighbors, and you know, my husband had done work for him. And so they called me and said, would you come? He's very sick. They've asked us to call for a pastor. We need you. And we don't think he's going to make it very much longer. And I hung up the phone. And first instinct is, oh, sweet Jesus, what am I going to do? And I said, Holy Ghost, you got to help me. I'm going to go, but you got to help me. So I get down the road, literally put a walk to there. I don't know what's going on with this, but that's okay. I get down there, I get out of my car, and I hear the young man crying out in pain, and my knees got weak, and I buckled. And again, I said, Holy Ghost, you got to help me. You got to help me. And I get inside the house, and I don't know the young man. The family's there, and they're crying, and they're... And so I walk over to him, and I'm like, in the face of this, Lord, what can I say? And I whispered to the young man, I said, sir, I want you to know that Jesus is here right now. I want you to know that Jesus loves you. I want you to know that he forgives you. And I don't even know if you can pray this sinner prayer with me right now, but I'm going to pray with you. Father, just forgive his sins. Touch his body and receive him. And, you know, forgive him. And so we prayed the prayer together, and I just started praying in the Holy Ghost. And I started praying over him, and literally it was just seconds, and the man passed. And his sister started weeping, and she came over to me. She said he was struggling because he thought God would never forgive him for his life, his lifestyle. He'd lived a rough life. And part of the reason for what was happening was just the results of some lifestyle. And he said he thought, he come to all of us and asked for forgiveness. He said, but he didn't think God could ever forgive him. And you told him that God forgives him and God loves him. And when I did, the peace of God came over him. I felt the Holy Spirit come into the room. And that man passed in peace. And so I was able to give comfort, and it was nothing of me, nothing that I did. It truly was the Holy Spirit. But God showed me something that day, because the prompting of the Holy Spirit is powerful, and it's necessary, because the scripture says the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. And I believe that there are divine appointments, and I believe there are divine encounters. And I believe that the Holy Spirit will speak to you. If he don't speak to you while you're awake, he'll speak to you in your dreams. I say, Lord, if you can't get their attention while they're awake, get their attention while they're asleep. Sometimes I'll just say, sick 'em, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. But the Holy Ghost is a gentleman. And he has ways of working when we don't see it, we don't know it. And I'll say, Lord, that your Holy Spirit can go places I can't go. It can see things I can't see. It can do things that I can't do. But you are everywhere all the time, and you are faithful. And I could tell you other instances and other moments, but I want to go this morning to Luke chapter 2, 21 through 40. And really, I guess probably the last of what I consider maybe part of the Christmas story. But in Luke chapter 2 and verse 21 through 40, I want to read it through the Message Bible, because it just says a couple things a little bit different this morning. But it says, when the eighth day arrived, the day of circumcision, the child was named Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived. Then when the days stipulated by Moses for purification were complete, they took him up to Jerusalem to offer him to God as commanded in God's law. Every male who opens the womb shall be a holy offering to God, and also to sacrifice the pair of doves or two young pigeons prescribed in God's law. In Jerusalem at the time, there was a man, Simeon by name, a good man, a man who lived in the prayerful expectation of help for Israel. And the Holy Spirit was on him. The Holy Spirit had shown him that he would see the Messiah of God before he died. Led by the Spirit, everybody say that with me. Led by the Spirit, he entered the temple. As the parents of the child Jesus brought him in to carry out the rituals of the law, Simeon took him into his arms and blessed God. God, you can now release your servant. Release me in peace as you promised. With my own eyes, I have seen your salvation. It's now out in the open for everyone to see. A God revealing light to the non-Jewish nations and of glory for your people, Israel. Jesus' father and mother were speechless with surprise at these words. Simeon went on to bless them and said to Mary, his mother, this child marks both of the failure and the recovery of many in Israel. A figure misunderstood and contradicted, the pain of a sword thrust through you, but the rejection will force honesty as God reveals who they really are. Anna the prophetess was also there, a daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was by now a very old woman. She had been married 7 years and a widow for 84. She never left the temple area, worshiping night and day with her fastings and prayers. At the very time Simeon was praying, she showed up, broke into an anthem of praise to God, and talked about the child to all who were waiting expectantly for the freeing of Jerusalem. When they finished everything required by God and the law, they returned to Galilee and their own town, Nazareth. There the child grew strong in body and wise in spirit, and the grace of God was on him. We see Simeon and Anna, two people who are in the temple at the time where Jesus is brought to the temple for the time of his the dedication, but also the purification. Really, they've come into the temple for the purification of Mary. Mary's pronouncement of purification. She had to have a 40-day period where she was considered unclean after the birth of the baby. And then she would come into the temple and she would offer a sacrifice for her cleansing. Isn't it interesting that she had to bring an offering of sacrifice for her cleansing, but carried the ultimate sacrifice into the temple? A lamb without spot, a lamb without blemish. But she comes into the temple, and if you could afford it, you were supposed to bring a lamb for a sacrifice. But if you couldn't afford it, you could bring a turtle dove or pigeons to be offered. How many know that was a poor man's offering? It shows of the humble beginnings of Jesus. We see the royal side of Jesus where the wise men come and they bring the gifts and they give all the honor. But we also see the very humble side where he's born in the manger, in a stable, and they offer the turtle doves and two pigeons. But what's interesting is the scripture says that being prompted by the Holy Spirit, Simeon went to church that day. I mean, it's important to be in church. It's important to have the assembling together. It's important to have the gathering together. But it says, prompting by the Holy Spirit, he went into the temple because God had promised him that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ or until he had seen the Messiah. I mean, no, our purpose for coming into the temple or coming to the gathering is to see Jesus. It's the magnification, it's the understanding, it's the enlightening of Jesus in our midst. But the scripture said he came into the temple prompted by the Holy Spirit. Now, I start out telling you that the Holy Spirit is our guide. It's our GPS system. How many know it's the greatest GPS system you can have? It doesn't have to... It doesn't have to have signal, doesn't have to be charged. One time we were going to Pittsburgh and we were going up the turnpike and we had a GPS on and the GPS kept telling us, turn here, turn here. Well, there wasn't nothing but jersey walls and concrete between us. There was no place to turn here, but it kept telling us, turn here, turn here. Finally, my husband said, unplug that thing and put it in the back seat. Because it is absolutely messed up. You know, it does not know where we're going. But I laugh every time that you get going and you use your GPS system. Anybody in here use your GPS system? Yeah. Yeah. We still carry a road atlas in our car. My kids laugh at us. I said, that's okay. When your phone dies or your GPS isn't working, I still know how to read the map. Yeah. Yeah. Got what? Yeah, and I have the piece of cardboard on the side of the door, too, that has directions written on it. Yeah. Thank you, Trish, for ratting me out on that one. So, yes, we do. But if I get stuck, I know how to read a map, okay? But many times you're going down the road and you miss the turn, right? And what does it say? Recalculating. Make a U-turn. Go back. Take the next right. Yeah. And sometimes the GPS wants to take you the shortest route, but that's not the best route. And we know how all of that goes. But I wonder sometimes how many times the Holy Spirit looks at me and says, recalculating, because I missed it. And I want to tell you this morning, there's times when I miss it that I don't always, or I hear the prompting of the Holy Spirit and I second guess myself, or I say, Lord, is this just me? Or, you know, is it just out of my own desire? And I overthink things sometimes. Anybody in the room with me? Sometimes I just like, okay, I have to tell myself sometimes, Lisa, it's not that big a deal. It's not rocket science. Just go with it. Trust the Holy Spirit. But I wonder sometimes how many times it has to recalculate with me. But he said, being prompted by the Holy Spirit, he went into the temple because God had made him a promise. And he said, you will not see death until you have laid eyes on. Not only laid eyes on, but you have embraced the promise. And Simeon lifts up that baby in his arms and said, now let thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen your salvation. And he recognized not only was he the Savior of Israel, but he was also a light to lighten the Gentiles. How many are thankful that God cares about all of us? That we're all grafted into his family, that we're all part of the kingdom of God. That the scripture says there's neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male or female, but we're all one in Christ Jesus, and a light has come. That no longer do we have to live in darkness, but we can live in the light of his dear son and the light of the kingdom. And so the scripture says that Simeon was an old man. But how many know he had stayed the course? He stayed faithful. There's something to be said for staying the course. I didn't quit. I didn't give up. I stayed the course. And I'm sure there was many times in the life of Simeon when he thought, I just don't know if it's going to happen. But when he walked into the temple that day, I'm sure he had to say, God, you are faithful. You are faithful to your word. You promised that I would embrace the Messiah. And today I have held in my arms your promise. He's faithful to him who promised. The name Simeon means he who hears, or hearing. Simeon, he who hears. The scripture says, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Not let him hear what the neighbor says. Not let him hear what the news says. Not let him hear what the diagnosis says. But let him hear what the Spirit says. Because I believe God will speak if you'll listen. And I believe he's speaking way more often than we know that he is. We are just not in tune. Andy's recalculating up here. We have way more technology than we know how to handle. And yet we are still uninformed so many times. And we so often use those things as a substitute for using our brains and using the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Hallelujah. Having ears to hear. But I love that he said, led by the Holy Spirit, he was prompted to go into the temple that day. And his prayers was for God to show mercy to his nation of Israel. But But it said that the offering that was there that day was a turtle dove or two young pigeons. How many know that a lot of time in the scripture when we see the dove, it is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Yep. Right? It's a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Yep. And the Holy Spirit, and the dove was a sacrifice that day. The Holy Spirit will always point you to the sacrifice. It will always point you to the Messiah. It will always point you to Him. When Jesus was on the shore with John the Baptist, the scripture said, and when he joined hands with John the Baptist and stepped into the water, something happened that day, and the heavens opened, and the Spirit of God came in the form of a dove, and it rested on him. And when it did, it said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." There are times in your life that you need to let the dove speak. You need to let the dove talk. Because see what happened when Jesus was led then into the wilderness. You know, right after that, as the scripture says that he went into the wilderness and fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And the temptation in the wilderness was, if you be, what? The Son of God, turn these stones into bread. But if the heavens just opened, and the dove just spoke, and the Holy Spirit already set upon you, you don't have an identity crisis. You don't have to worry about who the enemy thinks that you are. He said, if you be the Son of God, Jesus must have had to look at him and say, you must not have heard what my Father just said about me, because he just pronounced over me that this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. I know who I am. I don't have an identity crisis. I let the dove speak over me today. So many times we take the voice of others over the voice of the dove, or over the voice of the Holy Spirit, or over the voice of the heavens that says, this is my beloved Son. This is my child of God. This is the saint of the Most High. This is an anointed and appointed and called and purposed. This is my beloved. Hallelujah. In Song of Solomon 2, 10 through 13, it says, my beloved spoke and said to me, arise, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me. See, the winter is past. The rains are over and gone. Flowers appear on the earth. The season of singing has come. The cooing of doves is heard in our land. Another translation says, the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree forms its early fruit. The blossoming vines spread their fragrance. Arise, come, my darling, my beautiful one. Come with me. This is what the king says of his beloved. But he says, arise, my beloved, my darling, come with me. And what does the dove say? He says, your winter is past. How many are ready for your winter to be past? Not only in the natural. Let me know, I see a lot of posts. And just saw some things yesterday about how much people dread the winter. They dread that season when the leaves are gone from the trees, where everything looks gray and dark and it's cold and it's not friendly to be outside and all those kind of things. We dread the winter so many times. But how many know there are things happening in the earth right now, even in the winter time? Those trees are still storing up food. They're still doing what trees do in the winter. But they're preparing for spring. I told you one time we were shoveling snow. We probably had 3 feet of snow. And I looked up at the oak tree in my yard, and that oak tree had buds on it. And I said to that oak tree, don't you know there's 3 foot of snow on the ground? And I laughed. You all think I'm kidding, but I'm not kidding. And I laughed. Don't you know that there's 3 foot of snow on the ground? And I heard the Holy Spirit say, that oak tree doesn't take command from external things. It takes command of who its DNA is and what's put inside of it. It knows it's an oak tree, and it knows it's almost time for that tree to bloom. And I don't take my command from external circumstances or environmental things. I am who I am created to be, and it's about my time to bloom. And I know sometimes you got to let the dove in your life speak and say, your winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the time of singing is about to dawn on you, and the voice of the turtle dove is enlarged, and it is in charge of your circumstances. And if you'll listen more to the voice of the turtle dove or the voice of the Holy Spirit, you'll begin to say over temporary circumstances, this winter has passed. These storms got to go in Jesus' name. Sickness has got to go in Jesus' name. Depression has got to go in Jesus' name. Environmental pressures and things that surround us or want to try to convince us who we are not have got to go in Jesus' name. Because the voice of the Holy Spirit is way more powerful in you than anything that is happening around you. Somebody say, I'll take that. I'm claiming that today, that the voice of the turtle dove and the power of the Holy Spirit is going to begin to speak in the midst and in the lives of people. And we're going to see a demonstration of that, because God is manifesting out of us, being prompted by the Holy Spirit. I want to tell you this morning, you don't know how powerful it is for someone to text you, call you, connect with you and say, the Lord spoke to me about you. The Lord laid you on my heart. I've been praying for you. I mean, no, it's the things that get you through sometimes. And there are times and moments when you don't know how to fight battles by yourself. Hallelujah. This is how I fight my battles. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. I woke up this morning saying, I see a victory. It was stuck in my head. I sang it all morning. I see a victory. And I refuse to receive or claim anything different than what the power of the Holy Spirit is speaking over this house right here and right now, because there's some things that we need to stand up and say, my direction is about to turn, my season is about to change, my rain is about to go away, and I can see clearly now. The rain is gone. I can see all the obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that had me bound. It's going to be a bright, bright, sunshiny day. Hallelujah. I told you the Lord will speak to you through songs. Hallelujah. So when we let the dove speak, he said, the dove begins to say, arise, my darling. That's what I want to say to you this morning in this house. Arise, my darling. Get up. It's time to get up. It's time to stand up. It's time to rise up. It's time to understand that the voice over you speaking is the power of the Holy Spirit is way more powerful than any other voice that can speak in your life. Hallelujah. John 16, 12 through 14 says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. He will reveal himself to you. The scripture also says, Anna, in that instant, Anna came. The name Anna means grace. I mean, our hearing, Simeon means hearing. Anna means grace. Our hearing must be one of grace. Our hearing must be a voice of grace and the goodness of God, the favor of God. And when that instance, when Anna came into the temple, the scripture said, and she began to lift up an anthem. And a song when she saw the Messiah. How many know sometimes you got to raise a hallelujah? Come on, somebody. You got to raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I don't care what it looks like around me, but I'm going to raise up a hallelujah out of my house because I have seen the Messiah. I have been in the presence of Jesus. I have been in the temple, and his presence is there. It's real. It's alive, and he's made himself real to me. The scripture said, and she went out of there, and she told everybody that the Messiah has come and is here. I mean, no, it's not just about what we receive, but what we give and what we tell and who we encourage. Her name means grace. What we hear must come from a posture of grace. Our Savior was ushered in by a hearing ear and a heart of grace. And I believe that God wants to hear a message of grace in this season. How many know grace means the unmerited, unearned favor of God? I didn't earn it. I couldn't buy it. But I received it through His grace. The grace and favor of God. And I believe that there are those who have stood the course. And you've stood on promises and you've waited. Stand with me this morning. You stood on promises and you've waited. And you said, Lord, you promised. How long? Hallelujah. But the scripture said in Simeon being prompted by the Spirit, basically what he said is, today's your day, Simeon. Today's your season. Today's your day. This is your moment. Don't miss the visitation. Don't miss your encounter with Jesus today. Hallelujah. As Beth gets ready to sing, I just want you to just close your eyes a moment this morning. I just want you to focus. I just want you to focus on Him this morning. Hallelujah. I don't know what questions you have in your mind. I don't know what direction God is sending you. I don't know what He's calling you to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But being prompted by the Holy Spirit, whatever the Holy Spirit prompts you this morning, that's what He wants to reveal to you. Hallelujah. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to stand here this morning and prophesy and declare seasons are changing. Winter is over. The time of the rain is gone. The voice of the turtle dove needs to be heard in our land like a time like never before. Hallelujah. And God is strategically moving some things into place at the right place, at the right time, at the right season, and at the right moment. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If you're here this morning and you just need God to speak to you, if you need healing, if you need direction, whatever it is, I just want you to lift your hands, or if that's uncomfortable for you, lift your eyes. I don't care. Lift your voice. Hallelujah. We'll be glad to pray with you. The altar's open. If you need to receive Jesus this morning, if you just need an encounter with the Messiah, whatever it is, we'll be glad to pray with you this morning. If you just need something and you don't even know what you need today, that's okay too. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He's never left you. He didn't walk away from you. He's been there all the time. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you want prayer this morning, come on down. We'd be glad to pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Sister Joy, I just want to speak healing over your body in Jesus' name. Lord, we declare all of the organs and the systems of her body to come into agreement with your word. Father, healing to manifest, wholeness to manifest in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for healing right now. Right now, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we just speak over this woman of God this morning, God. In Jesus' name, we exalt the voice of the Holy Spirit over her household, over her life, over her body. Father, in Jesus' name, weariness has got to go. In Jesus' name, discord has got to go. In Jesus' name, chains are broken. In Jesus' name, healing manifest in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you are turning circumstances, Lord. Thank you, Father. Lord, we celebrate this day. We celebrate this day of miracles and turnaround, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We declare that peace is coming. Peace is coming. Hallelujah. We speak peace over this house today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.